The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're tackling a genre that, well, often gets put in the just entertainment box, science fiction. But we're going way beyond that. We're not just talking spaceships and aliens today. We're really digging into the critical ideas Cheryl Vint presents about what science fiction does.
Yeah, it's a really important shift in perspective, I think. For a long time, SF was sort of seen as, you know, niche or escapist. Vint makes a compelling case that it's actually a vital cultural space, almost like a laboratory, where we can examine the underlying currents shaping our world right now, sources that maybe more traditional stories sometimes miss.
And it feels incredibly timely, doesn't it? I mean, think about everything changing around you. AI becoming commonplace, the climate crisis, gene editing. These huge shifts feel almost science fictional themselves. We kind of need these tools Vint offers to process it all without just feeling overwhelmed.
Exactly. We're looking at her framework for using SF, not to predict the future, but as a sophisticated way to think critically about the present.
Okay, so let's start with the person behind these ideas. Who is Cheryl Vint?
Right. Cheryl Vint is a distinguished professor of English and science fiction studies at UC Riverside. She's a major voice in the academic field. And she co-edits Science Fiction Studies, which is, you know, a top-tier academic journal in this area. So she's deeply immersed in the critical conversation.
What makes her take on it so different, then? It's not just about listing authors or tracking history.
No, not primarily. She comes at it as a critical theorist. She pulls together literary analysis, yes, but also cultural studies, feminist theory, and something called biopolitics.
Biopolitics.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit complex. What does that mean in this context?
It's basically the study of how power systems, governments, corporations, social norms manage and control life itself, especially, you know, the human body, health, reproduction, things like that.
Right.
Vint uses this lens to look at SF.
Okay. So even though it sounds academic, she's making SF feel, well, necessary, like a kind of philosophical practice for understanding today's world.
That's a great way to put it. She argues that these fantastical stories are essential for getting grips with big issues. Race, gender, the environment, what it even means to be human anymore.
And that leads us to her main argument, I suppose.
Yes. The core idea is that science fiction is fundamentally a form of social criticism. Its real value isn't about guessing what tomorrow looks like, but about analyzing today. She really pushes us to shift the question from, could this happen, to, what reality about my present does this story reveal?
Okay, that's a big claim. How does she argue SF actually achieves that? It seems counterintuitive, using fantasy to analyze reality.
It hinges on a concept she borrows and develops from an earlier theorist, Darko Suvin. It's called cognitive estrangement.
Cognitive estrangement. Sounds technical, but what's the gist?
The gist is actually pretty straightforward. SF takes things we accept as normal, like, say, capitalism or traditional gender roles or how our political systems work, and uses a futuristic or fantastical setting to make them suddenly look weird. Strange.
Estranged.
Ah, so it's like seeing something familiar through a completely new lens and suddenly noticing things you always overlook because they were just normal.
Exactly that. It disrupts our assumptions. And this estrangement is usually sparked by what Suvin called a novum.
A novum?
Yeah, basically a scientifically plausible new thing introduced into the story world. It could be an alien encounter, a time machine, a radical new technology, a different social structure. This novum acts like a catalyst. It changes the reality just enough so that the underlying logic or illogic of our own world becomes visible. Vint argues that because SF can imagine these alternatives, it creates the critical distance needed to really critique the status quo.
Okay, I think I'm getting it. It's about using the what if to understand the what is. Let's see how this works in practice.
Right.
You mentioned using it like a diagnostic tool. Right. Let's start with that core idea, estrangement as critique. How does it function in, say, a classic text?
Vint uses H.G. Wells' The Time Machine as a prime example, doesn't she?
She does. And her point is, we shouldn't read it primarily as a prediction of the year 800-2000 AD. It's much more about diagnosing Victorian England in the 1890s.
So the Eloi, those beautiful, frail people living on the surface, and the Morlocks, the pale subterranean workers who prey on them, it's not just a future scenario.
Vint argues it's a direct, if metaphorical, extrapolation of the class divisions Wells saw all around him. You had the wealthy leisure class living off capital, seemingly disconnected from production, And then you had the industrial working class, hidden away in factories and mines, literally fueling the lives of those above. Wells just pushed that division to its evolutionary and horrifying conclusion.
Right. The time travel, the novum, allows him to present this extreme future, which then reflects back sharply on the exploitative social structure of his own time. Makes sense.
It's the estrangement effect making the present visible through the lens of the future.
And this critique of society connects directly to how Vint discusses the individual, the self, and particularly the body, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She looks at how SF constantly plays with and challenges our assumed notion of the stable, unified, human subject.
Hmm.
You know, the idea of the individual as this self-contained, autonomous being.
How does it do that? Through things like androids and clones?
Precisely. Take Philip K. Dick's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? The book Blade Runner was based on. The whole struggle of Deckard, the protagonist, to hunt down androids isn't just plot. It becomes this deep uncertainty. How do you really tell who is human? What is empathy? Can he even trust his own memories, his own identity? The story erodes those clear boundaries we like to imagine.
And Vint pushes this further with the idea of the post-human body, using that biopolitics lens you mentioned earlier.
Yes, this is where SF gets really interesting and maybe a bit disturbing. It explores the body not as something natural and fixed, but as a site of control, technology, and power.
Like in Cyberpunk, I'm thinking of William Gibson's Neuromancer.
Exactly. The way characters often refer to the body as just meat, something to be modified, enhanced with technology, connected to networks, or even discarded.
I remember reading that years ago and just thinking it sounded cool, edgy. But Vint's point is deeper, isn't it?
It is. She connects it directly to our present. Think about cosmetic surgery, genetic engineering debates, performance-enhancing drugs, cybernetic implants. We're already modifying and technologically integrating with our bodies. The cyberpunk vision reflects anxieties about this, about the body becoming a commodity, about new hierarchies based on who can afford the best upgrades. The post-human isn't just future speculation. Aspects of it are here.
That's unsettlingly true. Okay, so from the individual body, Vint then zooms out to the planetary scale, to ecology.
Right. She looks at how SF engages with massive, slow-moving crises like climate change, which falls under the umbrella of the Anthropocene, our current geological era defined by human impact.
And traditional fiction sometimes struggles with that scale, doesn't it? It's hard to write a conventional novel about incremental sea level rise.
It is. But SF is uniquely suited for it. It can visualize the consequences, make abstract data feel tangible, emotionally resonant. Think about climate fiction or cli-fi. Authors like Kim Stanley Robinson are key here. They often blend rigorous scientific understanding with complex social and political world building. They don't just show the disaster, they explore possible solutions, alternative ways of living, trying to imagine sustainable futures.
So it's not just warning, it's also potentially hopeful, a space for thinking through alternatives.
It can be, yes. It can be a tool for imagining not just survival, but maybe even transformation.
And all these themes, society, self, planet, Vint, connects them through the lens of power structures, the political and the network.
Exactly. She argues SF has evolved beyond just critiquing obvious totalitarian states like, you know, Big Brother 1984. It's now grappling with more modern, diffuse forms of power.
Like what? Corporate power? Surveillance?
Yes. Things like globalization, the power of multinational corporations, digital surveillance, the way data shapes our lives. The network itself becomes a kind of power structure. Gibson was incredibly prescient about this stuff back in the 80s, how cyberspace and information flows create new forms of control, often invisible, often harder to resist, because there's no single dictator to point at.
But hold on, if it's all about critique and diagnosing the present, does Vint leave any room for, well, the fun, the sheer imaginative possibility that draws people to SF? Isn't it making it all sound a bit too serious, maybe?
That's a really fair point. And Vint addresses it, crucially, by highlighting the role of the marginalized within SF. She argues that some of the most powerful and imaginative work comes when SF is used as a tool by writers from communities historically excluded from dominant narratives, women, people of color, queer writers.
Okay. So this is where movements like Afrofuturism come in. You mentioned Octavia Butler earlier.
Absolutely. Vint discusses Butler's Xenogenesis trilogy, for example. He uses aliens, genetic blending, really radical concepts. But it's not just speculation for its own sake. Butler uses these SF tropes to critique racism, sexism, human tendencies towards hierarchy and violence all at once. It's incredibly complex.
So the estrangement effect is being used not just to critique the present, but to imagine entirely different ways of being rooted in experiences outside the mainstream.
Precisely. It's about survival, liberation, and building futures that don't just replicate existing power structures. For these writers, SF becomes a profound political tool. It fundamentally challenges and expands what the genre itself can do.
That feels like a really crucial expansion of the idea. It's not just analysis, it's also about imagining radical change.
Yes, and that synthesis, that power of diverse voices, is key. Maybe we try and distill some of the core themes from all this, things you can really take away.
Okay, theme one feels like SF as cultural criticism. We need to stop dismissing it as just genre fluff. Vint shows his speculative nature is precisely what gives it critical power. It makes the familiar strange, our jobs, our politics, our social norms, forcing us to actually see them and question why they are the way they are.
Definitely. Theme two, technology is never neutral. This is huge in Vint's analysis. SF constantly shows that tech isn't just a tool. It reshapes power, creates inequality, changes who we are. So when you encounter a new technology, AI or whatever, the question isn't just what can it do, but who wins, who loses, and what assumptions is this built on?
Yeah, that's a powerful lens. Theme three, the deconstruction of the human. SF constantly prods at the boundaries. What makes someone a person? If you can upload a mind, or if an AI seems conscious, or if bodies can be radically altered, what does that mean for our ethics, our laws, our sense of self? SF is like a sandbox for these dilemmas.
And a fourth one, maybe, the social construction of future possibilities. This is actually quite empowering. Vint emphasizes the future isn't written. It's built by choices we make now. SF, by showing us so many possible futures, good and bad, encourages us to be more active in shaping the one we want, rather than just accepting things as they are. It fights that sense of inevitability.
Those are great takeaways. You know, Vint's writing is full of these really sharp invites. Maybe we can share a few key ideas that capture her perspective.
Sure. One central idea is basically science fiction provides a laboratory for social imagination. It underlines that it's a space for thought experiments about society.
I like that. And connecting to the core method, science fiction's estrangement effect makes the present visible. That really sums up how it works as critique. It pulls back the curtain on the everyday.
And highlighting the political dimension, especially for marginalized groups. For marginalized communities, science fiction is a political tool for imagining survival and liberation. It underscores SF's role in envisioning radical alternatives.
And bringing it back to the body and tech, the figure of the posthuman is a reflection of our current reality. It reminds us that these seemingly futuristic concerns about merging with technology, they're actually about us right now.
So putting this all together, what are the practical applications? How can you, listening to this, use Vint's ideas?
Well, the most immediate thing is probably to develop critical media literacy. When you watch the next sci-fi movie or show like Ex Machina or Black Mirror, don't just follow the plot. Ask yourself, what contemporary anxiety is this tapping into? What familiar thing about gender, work, identity, control is it making strange? Use Vint's estrangement lens.
Yeah, that's a great starting point. And it actually has organizational applications too. Think about businesses or policymakers developing new tech. Instead of just focusing on, can we build it? Okay. They could use SF thinking, Vint's kind of analysis, for better scenario planning. What are the social consequences down the line? Who might be harmed? It encourages ethical foresight.
And maybe the broadest application is to enhance political imagination. Reading SF critically through this lens can help break that feeling that the current systems are the only ones possible. It can genuinely inspire more creative thinking about how to tackle big challenges, whether local or global. It nudges you away from passive acceptance.
I think ultimately the biggest takeaway from Vint is recognizing SF's intellectual weight. It's not some sideshow. It's a really sophisticated way of thinking critically about the massive changes happening in our time. Its real value might be in helping us navigate the future, or rather create the future, with more awareness, more intention.
You know, what really struck me reading about Vint's work was her emphasis on the power of diverse voices, how including perspectives from Afrofuturism, feminist SF, queer SF, it wasn't just about representation. It actually made the genre's critical tools sharper, more sophisticated. It deepened the analysis. And that insight fuels universal diverse perspectives and rich critical thinking everywhere, not just in literature.
That's a perfect point. It underlines how expanding our intellectual horizons makes our understanding richer. A powerful thought to end on.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.